Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Tune Review for tonight's match review of Luton 1, Newcastle United 0, with me and Billy. If you do enjoy tonight's show, don't forget to give it the thumbs up button. Really help us promote the channel. And of course, if you're new, click the bottom right-hand corner, click the logo and subscribe to the channel and be part of this very special community that we have right here on the Tune Review. You can also donate to the channel if you do so wish. I know Chippers has donated a tenner, but it seems to have disappeared. We had a new member as well just before the show started, so thank you very much. I'm going to sit here and be brutally honest with you tonight. I'm not going to bull anybody. I think things need to be said after that performance, quite honestly. I don't want to hear all this garbage about fatigue. I don't want to hear all this garbage about, oh, look where we were 2 years or 3 years ago. It doesn't happen anymore. It's not time for that. You know, we all know where we were in the past. We all know what's happened to Newcastle United. But if we want to be where we want to be, that today was garbage. Absolute garbage. We have no excuses apart from the fact that Luton Town wanted that game way more than Newcastle United did today. We were garbage. And let's be honest, it should have been and could have been a lot more than 1-0. They hit the bar twice. Dubravka made a couple of saves. We were crap. And I'm not going to beat around the bush with anybody and say, oh, yes, but this and that and that. We were awful. And nobody can tell me or try and convince me otherwise. But I'm not putting in this rubbish about, you know, how long do we keep saying, oh, it's fatigue? Those players on that pitch today should have been way good enough, even at 80% fitness, to beat Luton Town. And that is no disrespect to Luton Town because, like I say, they wanted it way more than us today. We were just garbage. And people finally have to just say, we were crap. Instead of coming up with excuses all the time, there is no excuse for that performance today. None at all. We were rotten. Billy, I don't know whether you agree with me because, you know, you had a bad feeling about this even doing the preview. So I just thought it was garbage. Absolute shite.
Well, it was. But a blind man on a galloping horse could have seen it coming, as I did. I predicted a loss, and that's what we'll come away with. Fatigue is part of the reason, but that's not the only reason. Today, we didn't want it. We weren't up for the fight. We weren't up for the battle. They showed zero desire for the shirt, zero heart for the cause. They've let down all the fans that travel down there. It's an embarrassment from number one to number 11 and include the management team in that also. It's people say, look where we came from. Our away form is exactly where we came from. Let's put it in big black letters on a white background. This away form is no different to Steve Bruce's. It's no different. It's appalling, this away form.
I mean, Billy, I've been called out on social media already tonight for saying we were crap. You know, I mean, John Sinclair put a tweet out saying, am I allowed to say we were rubbish? What do you mean that you're allowed to say? We were terrible. And then somebody calls me out saying, telling me to give me head a shake. Because look where, again, with the words like, oh, where we've come from and how fatigued we are and we're doing okay. That tonight was not okay. You know, yes, we're doing okay as in progression. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely so. But when you have to sit and watch a performance like that from what we now call ourselves a Champions League side, we are a million miles away from that right now. Because those players on that pitch and saying things like, oh, you know, we've got players coming back from injury and all that. Yes, we do have players coming back. We do have players out injured. But nobody can tell me that those 11 on that pitch today weren't good enough to beat Luton Town. And Luton Town dominated us. They wanted it more. They got stuck in more. They were going into 50-50s more than what we were. There is no excuse. Ike, thank you for your super chat. He says, agree, Paul. Two-year excuse. Two-year excuse no longer holds. Afraid to say, Eddie has taken us as far as he can. I know you're going to hate me. I don't hate you, Ike. Don't worry. People have all got opinions on Eddie Howe, and he got it wrong today. And, you know, I'm starting to worry a little bit that he doesn't have or can't change things during a game because it was blatantly obvious that Anthony Gordon wasn't fit today, but he played. And he played the full game. he makes a substitution with 5 minutes left, brings off Dan Byrne, which I have no idea what that difference would have made with 5 minutes to go in the game. Take Anthony Gordon off and put Lewis Hall further up the field to give us a quicker attacking option. But at the, you know, God dare you criticise Eddie Howe, you get the plastic fans coming at you. It's ridiculous because he got it wrong today. He got it wrong with the substitution, bringing Miley off. He should have brought Chong Longstaff off. He wasn't up for it today. But when he went to 4-4-2, we lost Bruno from the game as well because he was out with the shot when we went 4-4-2. He was poor today. And don't get me started on Miguel Almirón, because I tell you what, if anybody sat and watched that game today, Billy, surely now they can see that he is just not good enough.
He's played too many games. The fatigue issue is part of it with Miggy. He's not good enough. No, he's not. Not for consistent European Champions League football. Definitely not. But there's definitely a fatigue issue there with some of them. No doubt about it. 100% of it. But it's, I blame Eddie Howe for that. I mean, he's had chances to change players and swap players around. I know we've got injuries. But I keep saying, put a couple of kids on, you know, the Everton game. Had, you could have did it then. It's he's very short, you know. He's not a long-term manager for me. He's not... doesn't see the big picture. He's very short-term, kind of looks for the short-term, the game ahead, that's it. And he doesn't think about the one after that or the one after that. Yeah. You've got to kind of look a bit further ahead and think where your squad's going to be after playing 90 minutes and then 3 days later you've got another game. We're going to be knackered Tuesday. There's no doubt about it. I think we'll win Tuesday. But don't be, you know, the crowd will lift it. That's why. It won't be anything to do with management or anything like that. You know, it's a poor place to be in at the minute. The away form is horrific. It's... we're a different side away from home. And Eddie Howe said in his post-match press conference that we were reactive today, not proactive, says the man who changes the system after we went 1-0 down and changed it to mil. He changed it. Fair enough, he changed it. But that's proactive because we were losing.
Yeah, but if you're going to change it, reactive, you've got to change it to the right move. And exactly. Again, he keeps Longstaff on because Longstaff is one of his favourites. And you have to start questioning Eddie about these loyalty things that he has with these players. He's got to be more brutal. And I felt sorry for Miley today because he actually started the game quite well. He was composed on the ball. He was running, making runs. He was knocking the ball around quite well. But Longstaff was off today completely. Bruno went out of the game completely. But his resistance to do something about Miggy Almirón is going to be his downfall. It really will. We've got a super chat from Colorado Magpie who says, Miggy just not good enough. He needs to hit the weight room. No strength in those spaghetti arms or chicken legs. Toon Gamer, thank you for your super chat. He says he should have played three at the back in the last 10 minutes. Look, there's no doubt we went for it in the last few minutes of the game. We did try and equalise. There's no doubt about that. But we should never have been in that position in the first place. No, you know, we started very slowly, but we got going a bit, Billy, in the first half. And we started to knock the ball around a bit. Callum had a couple of opportunities. Should have put us in front. A header on the six-yard line straight at the goalkeeper when it should have gone in either corner. And then they score. When we're in the ascendancy, they score. But after they score, they then get the confidence and start just overrunning us. It was embarrassing. Deep into Snow, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, one, increased competition, even from the under-21s. No more guaranteed places. Two, rotate the squad. I was moaning about this last season before the injury crisis. Look, we can blame injuries. We can blame what you want. But those players have to take some responsibility today as well, not just the manager. Those players are playing for Newcastle United in a team that was in the Champions League this season, right? Now, whether or not you say it was overachievement or whatever last season, fair enough. But I think it was a massive overachievement looking at how we're doing this year. Yes, we've had injuries. Absolutely, we have. But there is a lot of other teams who are in the same situation as us that have had just as many injuries. But I will say it again, those players on that pitch today were good enough or should have been good enough to beat Luton Town. The attitude stinks right now. Going in for 50-50 tackles, we look lackluster. We don't have any kind of creativity at the moment. And the fact that a team like Luton Town, Billy, wanted that game more than Newcastle United today.
100%. Yeah, even when we had a little bit of the ball and we were controlling play for the 5 or 10 minutes that it happened for, they were still pushing for every ball, every tackle. Every 50-50 went their way. Like they wanted it more. The creativity is not there because the two wide men Miggy's horrifically off form and fatigued with it, and Gordon is nowhere near fully fit. So there's no creativity from wide. Gordon has no pace at the minute because he's not fully fit. So that's where the creativity isn't there. And defensively, we're shaky as well. So, you know, it's a recipe for disaster away from home. At home, we can do it. We get, you know, the crowd lift us. The press is there. We're urged to press by the manager. I'm sure it's a plan that we don't press away from home, trying to, you know, kind of conserve energy.
Yeah.
But it's all conserving energy. You still got to go in for your tackles and win your tackles and be, you know, 100% determined to win your tackles. But we weren't today. That was an awful performance.
I mean, Steve Middlemiss, yeah. Who would you play instead of Miggy then with no cover? We have got players that can play there. Livramento, for one, can play there. You know, if Miggy's playing shite, don't play him. What is the point? Or just to say, oh, well, we had nobody else. Try something different then. Don't play Miggy there all the time because it's not working. You know, if you're gonna be a top-class manager, then change it. You've got to make these tough decisions in life to progress. You know, we've seen it with the top managers over in the past. They've been ruthless. Eddie is not ruthless. And that's a problem. You know, we've said that for a long time now. So
I've got Chippers' super chat for me to put it up.
Yeah, if you can, mate. Thank you, Chippers. Don't want any sack, but results dictate a manager's future. One away win all season is not good enough. And losing to teams like Everton, Bournemouth and Luton away, we will struggle to get top six. Absolutely. Why play Miggy there all the time? You know, and this is what I mean by everybody saying, oh, you can't say anything about a certain player. We can, and we will. You know, when you see a performance like that, Miggy couldn't kick in a straight line today. He was passing it all over the place. He was losing the ball. He was running around with that, you know, going like a pigeon on heat. It doesn't work anymore. Effort will not just win you games anymore. And, you know, yes, we surprised a lot of teams last season, but we have been worked out. And that's when Eddie will really be tested now, because teams are working us out. How does Eddie then change it to approach the game a little bit differently, or to manage the in-game activity of their players? Because he's not doing it, Billy. And you know, the substitution was just wrong today. And what's that going to do for Miley's confidence? He's probably one of the better players that starts the game, yet he gets hooked.
You know, trying to protect him from burnout and things like that is the only thing I can think of. But, I mean, Longstaff ain't looked fresh either lately. So, you know, he's making the wrong decisions and he's making them regularly. And we've got a new member as well. There you go.
That's it, yeah. Parkmeister, welcome to the members club, matey. Thank you very much. I mean, look, if people are questioning, saying, what's the point in waiting until the 80th minute to change Miggy? I mean, we were screaming for half time to make a change because it was obvious Miggy wasn't playing very well. In fact, it was dog rot. But, you know, I don't get what this problem is away from home. Things have got to change, Billy, because the away form and losing their teams like Everton, Bournemouth, Luton, all down the wrong end of the table, that is not good enough. It's simply not good enough.
No, I agree. And this is his plan B. This is the way we play. No press, no intensity, sit back, hit on the counter. It's all hitting on the counter when you've got a bit of pace, but when your pace man's knackered and injured,
yep,
it's not going to work, is it? And yeah, we played against a side who are really a championship side, who wanted the game more than us, were up for the fight, had the crowd behind them. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong here, but we've got a game just like that coming up in about 10 days' time. I'm dreading that one. I've got to say, I'm dreading it.
People are starting to get nervous about the derby. There's no doubt about it. And listen, Rich makes a great point here. Miley was the easy sub. It bottles taking the big players off or dropping them. I totally, totally 100% agree with that. It was the fact is the matter that he took the wrong player off. But, you know, Paul Tully says Gordon should never have started. And why is Cher starting when he literally just had an injury? It's absolutely crazy. Look, obviously Fabian Cher was fit to play. I don't think Fabian did anything particularly wrong today. You know, it was, and then of course Lascelles getting injured. So it goes on. Botman came on.
The other thing, Paul, is when they keep playing these players week in, day in, day out, they pick up injuries. Jamal Lascelles today, point in question. You know, he's played every game God sent the past kind of 6 weeks. Eventually, he's going to go down with an injury, a muscle injury.
Yeah, but people, you know, and those people that are going to come and say, well, he hasn't had anybody to pick from. He has, because young Alex Murphy's been there for weeks now, and we know he's a decent player. Emil Kraft has been available. So there has been, Paul Dummett's been available. So there has been opportunities to rest players. And look, when you're deep in the crap like we are with injuries, sometimes you have to turn to those players, but he hasn't. He's dragged them through the mire constantly, and it has really, really affected us. Deep into snow, thank you for another super chat. He says, Longstaff, Gordon, Miggy need to be on the bench against Forest. And welcome to Members Club, Daniel Crespin. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the Tune Review Membership Club. Billy says, sorry, I've just had another one in from a 20 Norwegian Kroner super chat. No summer signing starting, still a good window. No. I'm going to say this as calm as I can. Our front three is not at the level to complete up with the top teams have rebuilt, and we bought kids instead of upgrading the team. Eddie has to improve or lose his job. Look, this persistence with Miggy is doing my head in. And I know for a fact the Miggy fan club are going to come at me and say, you know, look what he does defensively and all that. He's a forward. And his assists and his goal ratio are not good enough. Mm. So we desperately need to upgrade the right-hand side. You know, I know Murphy's out injured, but, you know, when you're playing as bad as Miggy, he keeps getting picked and picked and picked. You know, why not just say, right, you're not playing well, Miggy. Tino's going to start there. Ahead of, you know, Tino and Trippier down the right-hand side. Give us a different option. Or move Anthony Gordon there and put somebody else on the left-hand side. Why doesn't he try putting Miggy on the left or Anthony Gordon on the right? It's unforgivable at times.
It is, but I mean, you know, 11 of them today were awful. I don't think it's fair to just scapegoat Miggy. I think the whole of them were absolutely shocking. Dubravka aside. Yeah. But Miggy's done it, you know, he's been shocking more often than the rest of them, let's be honest.
But as that last comment said, Billy, he's in one of those positions that we require him to be at a level where he either sets goals up or he scores goals, and he's just rotten. Mark, good evening. He says, I get annoyed watching Miggy now spinning round like Dougal from the Magic Roundabout and doing F all. No vision and no strength.
Yeah.
And he is. And we said this on the preview show, Billy, that Miggy is the type of player who, if he doesn't have time to think, he's a better player. Like, if someone gives him the ball quickly and he's got to get rid of it quickly, he's a far better player. We saw an instance of that today in the first half when he got the ball in the box and he had so much space. And it took him an age to get a shot away. And then when he did shoot, it was miles over the bar. It's not good enough.
It's not good enough. Absolutely not.
Kenzie says, I'm sick and tired of not being able to criticise anything. Eddie can't seem to make obvious changes, and Miggy and Longstaff are just hopeless. Look, Kenzie, if you want to complain about something or criticise, you have every right. You're a fan of Newcastle United, and don't take all these plastics coming at you on social media saying, you give your head a wobble and all of this. You know, we're doing okay. We're not doing okay. We're going backwards at the minute.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going backwards because the away form is rank bad. And that has got to ask questions. You know, where's all these people coming out and blaming fatigue, etc., when we beat Fulham 3-0 at home or we do well at home? But nobody blames fatigue for winning. So why should we blame it for losing? It's a petty excuse now. Toon Gamer, thank you for your super chat. Two forwards on the pitch and still no crosses in. Gareth Smith, welcome to Members Club as well. Thank you for signing up. Len Simmons, thank you for your super chat as well. Very kind, my friend. Paul Tully says, by the way, watching the replay of their goal, no one was marking them. They had two players on our goal line and they simply stood there. There was no runs made for them to head in.
It was an old-fashioned flick on at the near post corner, wasn't it? We just weren't awake to it at all. It was ridiculous, really. Schoolboy errors.
Yep. Alan says that he is a world-class coach, not a world-class manager. There's a difference.
I don't think he's a world-class coach.
No, I don't think he's world-class. I think world-class, you know, world-class, you're talking the sort of, well, Jose Mourinho, the world, you know, Pep Guardiola, Arsene Wenger, Alex Ferguson, you know, they are what you call world-class managers, and you have to be at a peak level to get anywhere near these guys. Do I want Eddie Howe to succeed and be that person? Absolutely, I do. But you've got to say when you've got worries, you have to. And nobody can say our away form is not a worry. Simon Ward, thank you for your super chat. He says, sorry, love Eddie, but his game plan has been found out now. People know exactly how to counter our game. Fresh blood needed ASAP, or Eddie is gone. The thing is, Billy, and what I will say about this, you know, us being found out, is if you look at how we used to play down that right-hand side, you know, three players, you know, knocking the ball over, one, twos, and then flicking it over the top. Yeah. When was the last time you saw that come off?
Well, last Saturday, the Fulham game, we did it. We do it at home. We don't play that way away from home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Simple as that.
Mats, thank you for your super chat. He says, if we win, it's down to Eddie Howe. If we lose, it's fatigue. I can't argue with that. And fatigue never gets mentioned when we win home games. It's only when we lose. Caseball, thank you for your super chat. Stop this inverted wingers. Horrendous subs again.
I actually think we're negative away from home. We're too negative. He sets us up too negative.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not good to watch away from home.
Yeah.
The home form, completely different team. You like watching two different clubs. But away, we just sit and play it slowly. There's no pace in it. There's no press, there's no intensity. It's awful. Mm. And it's no wonder we're kind of on the back of all these losses.
Yeah, Davey, I agree 100%, mate. Unforgivable sitter on the 6-yard line. Len Simmons, thank you for your super chat. He says, I wonder what Alex thinks of the game, considering his stats, and we should have beaten them easily. Well, next time he's on the show, you can ask him, because, you know, he'll be feeling pretty down about that result today. He was massively confident. And, you know, again, it just proves that sometimes stats don't mean everything. It means who turns up on the day. Stats don't say anything about your passion and will to win the game. And unfortunately, that's what Luton had to do. They had the passion. They had the will to win. We didn't have that desire that Luton Town did. And I know that there was the emotional side of it, Billy, but we could have quashed that very, very quickly today, and we didn't.
Yeah, stats don't mean anything when they don't take into consideration condition of players, the amount of games played, the system they're going to play, the attitude they're going to play with, how the players are feeling that day. It's a misdemeanor. These stats, misnomer. Sometimes they work, but for me, they work after games, not before. 100%.
Hans, yes, we should have apologised to him, but you know, point taken. Mancunian, thank you for your the Mancunian way. Thank you for your super chat. This is a great channel. It takes time. We've been there, but I don't think Howe takes you where you want to go, in my opinion. Mancini, I see being your next manager. Interesting. Jesh Sandu, thank you for your super chat. Tony, thank you. Black and White TV, thank you. Get yourself over to Tony's channel and help him out, guys. Great channel there. Thank you for your super chat. He says, Luton wanted it more than us. And you just can't argue when you watch that game, Billy, that, you know, you look at, and I will call him a journeyman. I'll call him a journeyman in Ross Barkley, who's been around a while now and never really settled. When he controls the midfield like he did today, you know you've got a problem.
Well, I did say pretty much that he looks like he's got his head on his, finally got the right attitude and his head on his shoulders to play proper football in the Premier League, because he's always been an almost nearly man, you know. When he was at Everton, he was going to be the next Gazza and this, that and the other. You know, and he never fulfilled his potential. But I've watched him this season. He looks like he's concentrating his game. He's up for every game I've seen him playing. And today he ran the game. He won it. Totally won it.
Yeah. Deep into snow, thank you for another super chat. Chris Wood puts away that Wilson's chance. Sorry. Well, maybe he does, but listen, there was no way that Chris Wood was good enough, to be honest. Let's not go back there. Len Simmons, thank you for another super chat. He says, you can't say they needed it more. We needed those 3 points. Absolutely, we did. But where was the desire for those 3 points today? Because I didn't see it. I didn't see anything that told me that Newcastle had any desire to win that game. I thought Isak was excellent today when he came on. He was the one shining light that, you know, when he got the ball, he actually looked back to the Isak that we all know and love. And he looked hungry tonight, Billy. He looked like he wanted the ball and he wanted to, you know, I mean, look, you can talk about the offside goal. I mean, I didn't think it was offside. I've seen it again. I still don't think it was offside.
Mark Dean doesn't think he was offside either,
But you know what, Billy? We weren't good enough to get anything out of that game. We can't kick off and say that because we didn't really deserve it.
Well, by all accounts, they did actually go by his hand, which they shouldn't have done.
Well,
which is horrific, but that's VAR for you, and that's but never mind. We didn't, like you say, we didn't deserve that. You know, Luton could have scored 6 today, and we could have come away with a 4-5-0 defeat and couldn't have argued about it. They've hit posts, park bars. Dubravka's been our best player today by a country mile. He's made 2 or 3 good saves. Mm. Yeah.
Case Ball, thank you for another super chat. 5 defeats in 6 with Liverpool, Man City and Sunderland to come.
Yeah, it's worrying, isn't it?
Jonathan away. Liverpool away is going to be I'm not sure how they were losing to Arsenal when I came on
one inch now, and they've had a pretty stonewall handball penalty turned down by VAR for a change.
Jonathan says, Miggy, I agree with the Luton goal came from a Miley mistake, so Eddie protected him. The club need to get us at least 4 signings early in the window. Interesting opinion, Jonathan. I think, you know, Miley was definitely one of the players involved at the back post, but so was Trippier and Cher. Trippier was actually looking at the players head on. He could see that they were unmarked. So, yes, he should have tracked his man. Absolutely 100%, matey. But at the same time, you know, other players were involved in that. And hauling him off for that doesn't register with me. He hauled him off because he was the easiest option rather than Longstaff coming off. And that's the only reason he took Miley off. Peter Proudlock, thank you for your super chat, mate. He says, I'm starting to feel like if someone can in with a bid for Miggy, I'd happily take it. Don't even have to tell me that. Tom says, taking Miley off shows how for what he is, scared to upset the big names in the dressing room. He's been like this from the start. Kelly says, imagine we were where we would be if we brought the players we were linked with. But due to FFP, apparently we can't spend. Look, don't pay any attention to anybody saying we haven't got this and we haven't got that, okay? Because, you know, let's just wait and see what January brings for that. Mark says, fatigue is not an excuse, Billy. Please, man. Got to get that out of our heads. Best prep, best recovery, best diets, pitches like bowling greens. I played 4 times a week in my 20s for 2 different teams.
Yeah, but you're not a professional footballer, Mark. These lads played Tuesday, last Saturday. Luton didn't play a full game last Saturday, didn't play Tuesday. Simple as that. Someone that hasn't played a game 2 games in a week playing against someone who played the first in a week, who's going to be the fresher? It's common sense, mate. It's not nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, to a degree it is, Billy. To a degree. Well,
but it's not just the 2 games in the week. It's the previous 3 or 4 games before that. He hasn't rotated any of the players.
Yeah, but that then comes down to the manager.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, does.
If we're down to the bare bones, then you play some kids to give your seniors 100%. A rest when you know the game's coming up. Yeah,
100%.
It's very, very difficult. I know Eddie Howe's had a difficult job with the injuries, but you know, if we look back, has he particularly managed it well?
No, he hasn't.
No,
not in the slightest.
He hasn't. Yeah, exactly.
I've been saying it for weeks.
You have. Absolutely. Yeah.
Before the Everton game.
Yep. Kenzie says, Paul and others, can you stop having a go at Miggy, please? Miggy runs around and smiles a lot, so for that reason he absolutely has to start every game. But that's what people say, though. That's exactly what people say when you criticise him. Well, he runs around. Big deal. My dog runs around, but is it a professional footballer? Absolutely not. Simon Wright, thank you for your super chat, matey. Very kind. You know, this thing about Miggy running around, I mean, honestly, you know, if he runs around a lot, then he should be a fucking 100-meter sprinter. Then put him in the athletics field, not a football field. Jesus. Derek says, to say we can't blame injuries and blame Eddie for not rotating is bollocks. We've had benches consisting of 3 keepers, 3 juniors, and 2 pensioners. Derek, I'm not having that. I'm not having that at all.
Put that back up again.
There's been games where he could easily have changed it, and he hasn't.
No, he said, say we can't blame it. It's bollocks. He's agreeing with you.
Oh, right. Okay. There you go. To say we can't blame injuries and blame Eddie for not rotating is bollocks, Billy. So he's not agreeing.
We can't blame injuries and blame
we Eddie. Can't, to say that we can't blame injuries and then blame Eddie for not rotating is bollocks.
Oh, right. Derek, we could have put 1 or 2. We haven't got to play 11 kids. 1 or 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go back to PSG. I'll say it every time. Alexander Isak was knackered after 40 minutes. Couldn't even walk. And yet, he didn't take him off. And in the end, you know, they got an equaliser. It might have been unjust, but still, you know, it was a set. You know, sooner or later, something was going to happen.
Look at Anthony Gordon tonight. He wasn't fit.
Absolutely not.
But he kept him on for the full 7 minutes.
Tuesday was limping up 2 minutes, and he didn't come off till 50 minutes. Madness. It's madness.
Come on, Derek. You know, you've got to look at some kind of criticism, mate. I know you're very pro about Eddie and etc. So we love Eddie Howe, but you, I'll call him out on mistakes. Absolutely, I will. Toon Gamer, thank you for the super chat. He says, now I understand Grealish's comment about Miggy. DJ Ellison, thank you for your super chat. Regardless of fatigue, we do not look good enough. We are front foot at home and shit scared when we travel. Miggy, absolutely shocking again. How needs to show some bite moving forward or he's gone. Gareth Smith, thank you for your super chat. We are nowhere near where the top six up front. Missing out on Szoboszlai and Diaby is clear. They're looking at Liverpool and Villa now. They're flying. Wilson's career coming to the end. Isak just isn't fit. Well, I thought he looked a lot fitter today, to be honest. Mats, thank you for another 20 kroner. He says, Miggy expected thumbs up and smile stat is amazing. Deep into Snow, thank you for another super chat. Last season, Howe had a strategy away. That got him criticised, and I think he's trying too hard to shake that criticism. But why go into a shell? I mean, this away form is dreadful. The way we play away from home is absolutely dreadful. There is no excuse for it. You know, even if you have got injuries, it's the way you play as well. It's all sometimes about the way you play. And we play garbage away from home. Makina, thank you for your super chat. January for purchases. Then we start our campaign. Let's hope you're right. Paul says, watch, we'll probably rock up and win at Anfield now. Mark's questioning people saying burnout, he's 17.
Exactly, he's 17. That's what, you know, how many players have you seen play at 17? They've been played week in, week out, and then become a child of the player they were because they played too much, too often. Simple as that. I wouldn't have took my off. I would have took Longstaff off. But I think that's the reason why he took Miley off ahead of Longstaff.
Davey says, I thought Miley was lackluster all game. Understandable, to be fair. And he was the fault of the goal, I'm afraid. He was one of the players. Anthony says, spot on, Paul. Howe needs to be ruthless and drop players out of form. Look, people are asking questions and have every right to ask questions about Eddie's decisions. This is what we do as football fans, whether it's here on YouTube or it's sitting in the pub somewhere after the game. Everybody will be questioning the same things. And it's not wrong to criticise when you think somebody's got it wrong. Simon Wright, thank you for your super chat. He says the owners won't be happy with this form. Absolutely they won't. Absolutely they won't. David says, I don't think Eddie is much further away from one home game defeat to where the owners will be asked by investors to make a decision. Look, I don't think Eddie's job is under threat right now. And I'm not going to sit here calling for Eddie's head. Absolutely not. I think that Eddie's still got a lot of work to do at this football club and take us to some great places at this football club if he learns by his mistakes. And that's a big if. Because what we've seen so far is that he's very stubborn with certain things that he does, that he believes are his ways are the right ways, and he won't change for anybody. Now, that can be a good thing in life. It can also be a negative, and it can also just rock the boat a little bit. And I think at the moment, that boat is being rocked away from home. We haven't a problem at St. James's Park because we play a different way. But for some reason, we go into this shell away from home, and it's not working. It hasn't worked all season, apart from Sheffield United, which was that's kind of a one-off game. You'll never see that again. You know, it just Sheffield United were rock bottom. The manager was on the way out. The players had dropped down tools for him. It was just look what they did at Villa. They're a different team now. But we've got to be better, Billy. And look, I don't know how we'd be better. Whether he sort of goes back to how we were last season and actually try and attack more. You know, we just don't seem to have the same intensity, and that's the problem for me.
Well, even Anfield, he tried to attack for a half and maybe 60 minutes. West Ham away, Everton away, Spurs away, Leicester away. You know, the games are endless where we went away and tried to win the games. Mm. I've not seen that this season at all, apart from the Sheffield United game. You know, we're not even trying to win the games. We're just being passive, letting teams come on to us, making mistakes. You know, and not having the intensity or the desire to fight for the shirt, it's not good enough. It really isn't good enough. If we get beat by Sunderland, Paul, I think his job's under threat. I really do.
Look, I think the Sunderland game is a huge game for everybody, but including Eddie Howe. Because if Eddie loses that game, getting knocked out of all the competitions that we've been in within a space of, what, 6 or 7 weeks, that's going to put him under massive pressure.
100%.
they will either turn around and say, right, you know, we're out of everything now. You cannot fail this season to get us back into Europe. That is a necessity because we can't get there via any competition that we're in. So they may give him till the end of the season to say, right, you've got till the end of the season now. You've got to, your priority is finishing in a European spot again. And if we don't finish there, we're up shit creek again. But I genuinely think Sunderland it's now turned into an absolutely huge game. And we've got some massive ones before we even do that game.
Well, we're going to Anfield before that. I mean, who actually gives us a chance at Anfield the way we're playing at the minute? I don't give us a chance of being within three of them.
We sit back like that against Liverpool, they will murder us.
Absolutely hammer us.
Liverpool thrive on that. Jesh, thank you very much for another super chat. If we finish outside top six this season, will we stick with Eddie? Zidane or Simeone to take us forward then? Hope Eddie succeeds, but tactically there's no plan B and naive at times. Usman, thank you for your super chat. The majority of pre-takeover lads have got to go now. It's clear these lads have taken us as far as possible. Big reset starting in January. A new right winger, striker and goalkeeper. And welcome to Members Club, Billy F. Thank you very much. And welcome to the membership family. Christina says, hey, I've been supporting Newcastle for 60 years. This is what it's like. The first game I went to was at home, third round of the FA Cup against non-league Bedford. Result was Newcastle 1, Bedford 2. Yeah, I mean, look, everybody that's been a Newcastle United fan for a long time will know exactly what it's like being a Newcastle fan. It is not easy. It's never easy. We're always in the news, particularly for the wrong reasons. And at the moment, we have a little bit of criticism and things like that coming our way. But look, I'm not going to, and again, I'll reiterate, I'm not going to sit here on this channel and bull rot anybody. I'm not going to come and say, oh, you know, look where we've come from. You know, things aren't as bad as they seem, etc. Nobody can not be concerned about the away form this season because it's costing us massively. It could cost us a European place next season because we're playing so badly away from home. I just don't get it. King Hoddle says, stubborn is the word. He looks like he's set in his ways and isn't very flexible. I mean, I don't blame people for asking that question, Billy.
Well, all you've got to do is look at team selections and look at the way we're playing. It's been the same in everyone virtually, hasn't it?
Mark says, agreed, Billy. We've been very passive away from home. Life Goal says, Isak changed the game today. Instant impact. Well, sort of an impact, but an instant impact is if he comes on and scores goals. I mean, he did, technically, for me, score a perfectly good goal. But
he didn't change the game, did he?
No. Foxy says, for what Eddie Howe has done, he deserves the opportunity to still be manager start of next season. Will he get that? The time is another question, but the fans should support him through the good and bad. To a point, Foxy, I agree. I think, you know, he has done a miraculous job and nobody is saying that he hasn't. However, when you set yourself to that standard and then the team drops that standard, it's the manager that they come for. It's always the case. It's never the players that get called out on it. It's always the manager who ends up losing his job. That is football.
Yeah, and at the moment,
if Eddie Howe does not succeed, no matter what he's done for the football club, our owners will not tolerate it and bring somebody else in. That is the way football works. Manager is top of the tree.
If you as a fan that had been to the last four away games, how would you be feeling? Everton, Spurs, Chelsea today.
I mean, it's
you can't applaud it, can you? They do.
No.
So the fans are with him, but they shouldn't be, really.
Well, I mean, look, if I travelled all the way to Luton to watch that today, I wouldn't be standing, and I said this during commentary, Billy, the fans down there, you know, when we get beat and they're standing, cheering them like heroes. They didn't deserve to be cheered like heroes today. And they're standing there for 5-6 minutes getting applause from the fans. Those players should have just applauded the fans quickly and got the hell off the pitch, because sometimes that's actually embarrassing. When we play like that and they're getting cheered like superstars, it's embarrassing.
Well, the players must think, Christ, this is an easy job, this.
Well,
exactly. All we've got to do is walk on the pitch and we're getting heroes applause.
Heroes reception for a shit performance. It doesn't work. Matt, thank you for another super chat. He says, imagine losing against the Mackhams, blaming fatigue. Oh, the dare blame fatigue against Sunderland. That nobody should be feeling fatigued to get up for that game. Absolutely not. Just ridiculous. Yasindu says, I am low-key scared about the Forest game. If this continues, we can't expect to get a win there while we're at home. Hopefully Eddie will win, will keep his ego away and finally make some necessary changes. Well, I think you and Stato are doing a match preview on Christmas Day night, aren't you? Doing a preview for that. You know, after the Christmas festivities are all over and you've had your lunch and you're all just wanting to sit on the couch and watch something good, we do have the preview on Christmas night. So do join the lads for that. Davey says, it's clear to see that the way we set out to play last season and the beginning of this season has well and truly caught up with us. I'd love to know what the training regime is. It's not going to be Amanda's decision to get rid of Eddie, right? That will come from above. I know Amanda and me, Dad, they think the world of Eddie Howe, and rightly so. Mm. But at the same time, when that decision has to be made, I can bet your bottom dollar that it's not those two that make the decision. It will be from the chairman and PIF, without a shadow of a doubt. If they're thinking for one second they're going to lose money on an investment, they will make a change. Yeah, they will.
No sentimentality with the Saudis, absolutely not.
No, absolutely not. And sometimes you can't have sentimentalities. Yes, Eddie's done a wonderful job, but if he continues on this slope downwards and we keep losing away from home, I'll tell you what, Sunderland now is turning into that game there, and the games leading up to it are going to be big deciders. Samsonite Dove, thank you for your super chat. He says, we have to be callous and say that Eddie Howe has to be judged on his ability to get results away from home. Otherwise, we'll have to find someone else. I mean, look, we've got to be honest. Derek says, do you honestly believe that Eddie instructs the players to play differently away from home? How many have we recently said he's got to change the way we play away? Keep the faith. Derek, it's blatantly obvious. I mean, come on, Derek. It's right in front of you, buddy. It's right there. You can't tell me that Eddie Howe is not playing different tactics away from home. It's blatantly obvious.
No press whatsoever. No intensity. It's obvious. You all you got to do is watch it.
Well, exactly. Eddie needs to be ruthless. Jay Devlin says, too right, Paul. The ones who have given up need to pipe down. We're definitely giving too much respect away from home. Smothering and pressing is our best attribute. I just don't know why we've changed it away from home, because nobody can live with us when we play that kind of football. And that's what gets to me. You know, we play so well and teams can't touch us. I don't get it, Billy, but I think, this is a very, very difficult time we are going through. Yes, we have to support the club. We have to support Eddie, and we will, 100%. But I'm not going to sit here and say all the roses are smelling lovely in the garden when half of them are covered in dog muck. I'm not going to say it, you know what I mean? It's embarrassing for people to come out and say, look where we've come from, and petty excuses for a performance like that. You know, if we'd gone out there and buried them, we'd be sitting here praising them to the high hill, and rightly so. But if they play like garbage, we'll call them out on it as well. So, you know, say what you will. If we go out of the FA Cups as Looney Tune, the owner's patience will be tested.
Well, 100% it will be. 100%.
Yeah.
Not forgetting, remember, last year we went to Wembley. They might be expecting something more this year. Even though we're well ahead of where we are schedule-wise. You know, the fact we got to Wembley last season, they may be expecting silverware. They may well be.
See, here we go. Paul, we got beat 1-0. Slagging players off for going to fans. Give over. It was Luton Town, Steve. Am I talking Japanese? Luton Town. Are you telling me we should be... I'm not saying they're going to the fans... Of course, go to the fans and give them a clap and say thank you. But don't stand there for 5 or 6 minutes taking admiration for losing 1-0 to Luton Town and playing like pathetic as we did. How can you make that comment? Are you for real, man? We lost 1-0 to Luton Town. And Luton Town bossed us. And you're going to sit here and give me shit for saying the players shouldn't have stood there for 5, 6 minutes taking all in the admiration. It's embarrassing.
They should have been embarrassed and they should have just given them a quick clap and gone off the pitch.
Absolutely. 100%. What a ridiculous thing to say, Steve. God almighty. Mark says, my dad has zero say as well. People need to realise that. He's just a husband of a minority shareholder. 100%. Well, you know, they are very much involved, don't get me wrong, but they will not have that decision. Not a chance. Steve has come back because you're pathetic, mate. Well, Steve, don't let the door hit you on the way out, my man. Get lost. Go and watch somebody else who blows smoke up the players' arses when they've been shite. Go on. No skin off our noses if you don't watch us, mate. If you're so silly as to think that, and you know, losing 1-0 to Luton isn't a big thing for you, and the way we played isn't a big thing for you, go and watch the other channel who will blow smoke up their asses when we've been pathetic. What a pathetic, pathetic viewer. My God. Unbelievable, man. You see what I mean, Billy? You try and be honest and be frank, which we are. Nobody can tell me that performance deserved anything.
Yeah, it's adoration. Over adoration, isn't it? It's idolization. It's madness. You've been to watch that. I wouldn't clap them. Absolutely not.
Well, they didn't deserve it. And sometimes you don't deserve it. If they've gone out and won 4-0, absolutely. 100% go over and stand there for 5 or 6 minutes. But, you know, I do not see... If I travelled all that way and they played like that today, would I want to stand there for 5, 6 minutes clapping and singing to them as if they're some kind of, you know, gods, when really they're not, and they've given us one of the worst performances of the season? You're telling me you want to clap them for 5, 6 minutes?
Luton's first clean sheet as well.
Exactly. So why would you want to treat them like gods after a performance like that? The away end should have emptied so the players knew that they were disgusted with the performance. Foxy says, I hear that, Paul, but how often do teams have a great season then drop off the following year due to injuries, extra games? Happens to the great managers over the years and they bounce back. Foxy, 100%, mate. And look, this is Eddie's real first test, isn't it, as a manager of Newcastle United? This is his first real test of going through a little bit of a muddy patch, and it's how he returns from that. You know, can Eddie now get us back to the heights that we were? That he set the bar very high. He set it very high. But do we want Eddie to bounce back? Absolutely we do. We love Eddie Howe. And I still believe that Eddie Howe is the man to take us forward. But I'll criticise him. If I think he's made bad mistakes, I'll criticise him. But it doesn't mean I want him out the door. It doesn't mean I can't stand him. I love Eddie Howe. And I want him to succeed. And I want him to be one of the heroes, legendary managers, Billy.
Absolutely, yeah. But he's got to stop being so naive, and he's got to learn from his mistakes. And at the minute, it doesn't seem like he is, because we're showing the same performance week in, week out, away from home. So I don't think he is learning from his mistakes.
And that's what we said. We always said what we stand by Eddie Howe, as long as he learns, and he's got to learn quickly. It's his first real sticky patch he's going through, but I believe he'll come through it. Absolutely, I do. But on the flip side, these players have got to, you know, take some responsibility as well. And that's what I mean by going over to the fans tonight and standing in front of them for all that time. You know, the players should be embarrassed with themselves and think, right, let's go and clap them, but let's get off the field. But the fans shouldn't stay there and sing for 10 minutes at them, claiming that the bloody unbelievable, when we've just given one of the most shocking performances of the season. I just don't get it. Derek says, I seriously cannot believe the Toonies are joining the national agenda to get on Eddie's back. We probably haven't been training like last season because we don't want our tiny squad to be even more knackered. Well, I do agree with that. I don't think, you know, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, Eddie out. And those people that are extremely naive, in my opinion.
Well, the key word there, though, is probably. You don't know if we're training or not. No one knows.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Shana says the owners expect Europe at a minimum. If Eddie lasts till the end of the season, he needs to qualify for Europe. I agree. I think Eddie is, and there's that comment from the lovely Steve, because I'm pathetic. Well, you know, Steve, whatever you think, matey, I don't really care. You know, I don't mind you having an opinion, but coming at me for being pathetic when you're saying things like, you know, losing to Luton isn't embarrassing. I mean, Jesus. Whew. And Luton got a first clean sheet of the season. Life Goal says Luton Town were very good, though. Let's not deny that. Good little side, work hard, and Morris is very underrated. Another Vardy. Look, we praised Luton throughout the match day live show today on the commentary. You know, they turned up and they wanted it much, much more than Newcastle United did, to the point where it got embarrassing at times how Luton Town were so more committed than we were, going into 50-50 tackles and etc. And that's when the embarrassing side comes in, Billy, when we're getting out competed like that.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, we praise our players, and rightly so, when we kind of win games against the odds, when we beat Man City, even when we went to Old Trafford and won there, because we wanted it more than the opposition. But we've got to be able to criticise them when we don't, and we're outdone by an underdog as such. It's not, you know, it's got to be right to be able to do that.
Mm. Yeah. But there you go. I mean, it's just what's... I don't get this constant celebration of a bad performance. And I don't get how we can't... You know, what is football... Billy, you know, years ago... You used to be able to, you know, have a right go at the players for playing crap, but never, you know, all these absolute plastics coming out the woodwork saying you're not allowed to criticise. It's terrible that you do that. It's criticism, but the next game will be right behind the players again. But you can criticise them as much as you want if they've been as crap as that.
That's the nature of football, isn't it? Simple as that.
Absolutely. We've got a couple of super chats come in. Matt, thank you for another super chat. He says, and Luton had two off the bar. Don't forget that. It could have been a lot worse. And, you know, losing 3-4-0 to Luton, would that not be embarrassing? Len, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, I love this channel. It's all from the heart. You see it as you see it. Yeah, but it's getting to be more and more difficult these days, unfortunately, Les, because we're not allowed to. You know, people think, oh, you hate. You just can't defend a shite performance. You can't. Mark says, anyone going to agree with me? Trippier was out of order and overly aggressive when a fan questioned their performance a few L's back. The fan wasn't as aggressive as Trips in that situation. Look, I think Trippier's got a lot going on. I'm not going to go back there, but I understand. Mark says, love, great show, love the passion, honesty, thanks mate. Chris says, don't think any of us expect top four again, but I'd absolutely expect a performance against Luton Town with a multi-million pound lineup. Bang on. Jack says, let's give him a chance to learn from his mistakes. 100%. And you know, that's what I've just said, he has to learn from them, and will we give him our support to learn from them? 110% we will. We're not sitting here saying Eddie out, and I can't believe anybody would after, you know, he's on a journey. He's on a journey with us, and he has to be given time for that journey. But if that journey involves Newcastle United starting to lose money when they're not in these big competitions that the owners would expect to be in, that's when problems and doo-doo hits the fan. So our schedule isn't ahead anymore. We can't and won't be allowed to regress after last season. But we are regressing, and I think that's the worrying thing.
Everyone expected a slight regression, but I mean, one win away from home, and we're at the end of the year virtually, not good enough.
Yeah. Jack says, nobody is celebrating the performance, Paul, but we need to take a breath and support and back the team. Absolutely. Well, yes, but when you've played like that, right,
you can't support and back that performance. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. I mean, why would you stand there cheering for 5 or 6 minutes to a team that's performed like that? The players shouldn't be standing there for that length of time.
And then bigger picture, you can't cheer and support and back the kind of performances away from home all season. It's as simple as that again.
Yeah.
It's not a one-off. This has happened 3 or 4 times before.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it is. But look, I just laugh at these people now that come back at me and say, oh, you know, do you look where we were? Look where we were, all of this crap. It doesn't bother me anymore. Mark says, we don't demand a team that wins. We demand a team that beats F and Luton Town, though. Yeah, I mean, there's no excuses. There is no... Martin says, Adam P saying you thought they played okay. I mean,
back in the old days, we life goals used to come in and talk a load of absolute nonsense. But he's back tonight. He wants David Beckham as our new manager.
David Beckham?
Because he's got Messi. Look how well he's got Messi playing. Get out. He's not going to manage for the Miami in Nobed. He's the owner.
Wow. 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 Interesting. Stephen says, Paul, praise where it is deserved. How you controlled your language today was excellent. Well done. Thank you very much. The first game that I try and control my language during a match day live show, and it happens to be as bad as that. And I think me and Billy controlled ourselves very well today.
I think I dropped one F. I think if I remember.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to happen. The odd F-bomb will come here and there. Absolutely. Eternal Blue says, Luton fan here. Match was a blitz. And honestly, I'm so damn proud of how we played. I wouldn't feel too bad about this one as a Newcastle supporter. The team was motivated for Tom Lockyer. Yeah, that's understandable. And of course they were. And I thought it was a lovely touch by Andros when he scored. He went and got his shirt and waved it around for a bit. I also thought it was very classy of Andros Townsend not to wind the Newcastle United players up when he scored. He was at that end. He could have easily been an arse, but he wasn't. He ran to the Luton fans and celebrated with them. So I thought that was a classy bit of play from him as well. But there you go. Right, we'll through the player ratings. Well, John says here that, Paul, very same thing happened with Tonali, clapping him off and singing songs for him, getting a 10-month ban for having no self-control. Well, look, I wouldn't say having no self-control because, you know, he's got an addiction, and that is very, very different, and we're not going to get into that. But I do see what you mean, and I think, Billy, you mentioned this about singing his praise and everything. It, you know, despite the fact he's had an addiction, he's let the team down.
Of course he has, you know.
So, definitely. You know, I don't agree with him being, again, singing like he's some sort of god. Yes, when he comes back next season and he plays really well and he's, you know, hopefully he does absolutely brilliant, then yes, sing his praises. But, yeah. Another Luton fan, Armstrong's angling. Luton fan here, your flag mentioning Tom Lockyer was class, proper club with proper fans. Thank you very much. Indeed. Mark says that Tonali's got an addiction but was treated like a hero. Yeah, again. But what can you do? What
they were
can
still
you
singing,
do?
They were still singing his name in bloody Paris and bloody Dortmund.
Yeah, I know. Right, let's go through the team, Billy. We'll start with Dubravka.
Well, he's one that can come out with some credit because I thought if it wasn't for him, we'd have been, you know, it could have been really nasty. One of the claims from one of the crosses he took, you know, it was a fantastic claim down on the ground, virtually.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Dubravka an 8 because I thought he had a good game today.
Yeah, I'm going with an 8 as well. I thought he made some very good saves, put us in a position where I think he kept us in the game. Didn't really have a chance with both of them off the bar. You know, they could, that first one from, of course, Barkley could have hit the bottom of the bar, hit the back of, you know, Dubravka and bounced in. Kieran Trippier, Billy.
Better than he has been of late away from home, but still not really up to his usual standards. 6 for me.
Yeah, 6 for me as well. But hopefully we'll see a big improvement in the future. Dan Burn at left back, I'm going for a 7. I didn't think Dan Burn particularly did anything wrong. He did get caught out a couple of times where he cut in to make tackles and left the right-hand side free. But, look, the problem, he's coming back from injury and he's getting games under his belt, which is good. So I thought Dan Burn did all right. So I'm going with a 7, Billy.
No, I'll give him a 6.
Yeah.
He's winning the mill for me. Didn't do anything great, didn't do anything poor. Not outstanding, not short, so 6.
Jamal Lascelles?
I'll give him a 6 also. Got injured, of course. Mm. Looked up for the fight. I mean, he carried the ball forward a few times. Looked okay. Not really at fault for the goal. 6.
Yeah, I'm going with a 6 as well. Exact same reasons. Fabian Schär, for me, I'm going with a 6 as well. Again, nothing outstanding from him. I thought there was a couple of times when he burst forward, he could have pulled the trigger, and he didn't. And we all know he's got that in him, 100%. So 6 for me. Billy?
Yeah, it wasn't the inspirational kind of getting us forward as much and didn't see any of the crossfield passes by any of the centre-half today. So 6 for me.
Okay. Right, into the midfield, Lewis Miley.
Yeah, partly at fault for the goal, but apart from that, he played pretty well. Give him a 6.
I'm going with a 5, just for his part in the goal. I thought he was certainly not. He shouldn't have come off for me, but I'm giving him a 5. Right, we'll move on to Sean Longstaff. I thought Sean was terrible today. I thought he should have been hooked. Didn't give us didn't give us his usual game. What really pissed me off was even in the first half when he went down under that challenge from Barkley. You know, when he could have actually, if he'd stayed strong and got a cross in. So three for me, Billy.
Yeah, I'll give him a three. I mean, just slow, dithery, giving the ball away, soft in the tackle, just really poor performance, three. And that's generous.
Yeah. Bruno, I'm giving Bruno a four. I thought Bruno was way off his game today, but there was many different reasons for that. 4-4-2 doesn't really suit Bruno. And I thought he was kind of left out to dry by the manager. But some of his passing today was way off. Tried to pass it into the forwards. He couldn't find a man. And it just not really good today. But we know that Bruno is quality. But a four for me, Billy.
Yeah, his passing wasn't great today. But he had spells where he took control of the game, but he was mainly in the main dominated by Barkley. But you couldn't fault his effort, and he was trying to push us to, you know, a couple of shots that were off target as well, I've got to say. But I'll give him a five.
Okay. On to the front three, Anthony Gordon, Billy.
Absolute passenger, two.
Yeah, I'm going with a three. I've given him a three instead of, but he was a passenger. But again, I don't think that was his fault today. I think he was played with an injury, and we've seen this happen so many times. And to risk losing him for so long, if he was to, you know, further injure himself today, I mean, look, at the end of the day, he might have just been sore, and there was no muscle or ligament damage, but you could see that he was uncomfortable. He shouldn't have played. Now, other side, Miggy Almiron is a one for me. I've had it, Billy.
Yeah, I think he might have got his boots on the wrong feet, so I'll give him a one. But horrific, really poor. Played too many games. He's played way too many games.
Yeah, but he's not doing it for me. Joe Linton says a 10 for Smiles. Yeah, you know, the plastics will come out and say, well, he does smile and he runs around a lot. Nah. Right, Callum Wilson. Wilson's a tricky one because I think Wilson was holding up the play genuinely well, but his finishing was shocking. He had that one the first time at the near post, which I thought, you know, we didn't make much of it during the match day live commentary, Billy, but I think he should have done better. And then the second header from the 6-yard box, when he knows the keeper's there, and he's headed it straight at him, with nobody marking him either. So I'm giving him a three. Billy?
Yeah, he's played too many games. Another one that's, you know, we know what his fitness regime is like. We know he goes down with injuries. Mm. One game a week's enough for Callum Wilson. He's played, one, two, three, four in 7, 8 days, 9 days. Yeah, and his finishing was well off today. And it has been actually since he came back from injury, from the four.
Okay. Right, the substitutions. Obviously, Botman was the first one to make an appearance along with, we'll do Botman first, Billy.
Yeah, I'll give him a seven. That didn't just his usual solid self, but excuse me. Again, no crossfield passes at all today. It was all passes to fullback, wasn't it? And square balls, which is, you know, it's that's not our way, and it's our way away from home, unfortunately. Yeah. I'll give him a seven.
David makes a good point here. Paul thought trip your corners, same all the time. Corner to burn back post every time. We had a corner, try something different. Get it central, full of cells of Botman. We've said that all season, that we don't utilise the size of our players. You know, put it on the 6-yard spot or around that area for our centre-backs, etc., to get on the end of. What you know, again, players are working out what we do. The corner, there was one brilliant corner done today, which was a short one involving Gordon and Trippier, and then onto
Bruno.
Was it Bruno? And he shot wide. I mean, he should have done a lot better with that. But, you know, that was a good move, and that's trying something different. But the same old back poster. We used to do it years ago. Do you remember when Williamson played, Billy? It was always a long cross to the back post for Williamson to nod back. And it just it got boring, and try something different.
Pardon, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Alexander Isak, I'm going to give him a seven. I thought he was a shining light today. He actually looked hungry for the ball. He got the ball. He took a few players on here and there. So I'm excited to see the best of Isak again. And I thought he was a shining light. So seven for me, Billy.
Yeah, I think he had a goal that was unjustly disallowed for offside when it wasn't offside.
Absolutely.
And he looked like, and he beat players as well. Wanted the ball. Seven for me.
Okay. Who else came on?
Lewis Hall, Livramento.
I think Livramento tried. I don't think he got into the game as much as he could have done had he got on earlier, but he wasn't on long enough. But I'll give him a 6. Billy?
I'll give him a 5. I don't think he did anything. Yeah, I think he's on before that, though. He's not a right winger, but still, he'd probably give us more than Miggy did, even in the 20 minutes he was on. But even so, he weren't great.
I'm not going to rate Lewis Hall. He was on for 5 minutes. He just... It was far too late to bring him into the game. And the fact that he brought him on at left back when he should have put him further forward to try and get some crosses in the box.
He got himself booked.
Well, yeah, he did. But I think he took one for the team there because they were on a breakaway, weren't they? So, and finally, the manager, Billy, Eddie Howe.
Well, poor team selection, playing injured players, poor game plan, if there was a game plan, and then reactive kind of substitutions and system changes and what have you. I'll give him a 2 today. He was awful.
Yep, I'm giving him a 2. And look, I want to give Eddie Howe a 10 every game. I really do. But he's got to be better. He's got to be better. Look, the let's be honest. The players let Eddie Howe down today as well. You know, there's no shadow of a doubt about that. They were rotten. But sometimes when the players are playing rotten, you look to your manager and you say, right, what can we do differently? Who can we take off? And I think he took the wrong man off today and, you know, got us all sorts of problems. So our crossbar was man of the match, says JB. Yep, I can't disagree with that at all. Oh, Steve, come on. We're all friends. It's Christmas, man. It's Christmas. I still love you, Steve, you know. Come on. Let's be friends at the end of the day. We're all in a bad mood because Newcastle lost. We're all in a bad mood because it's, you know, but it's Christmas. Let's just leave it on a nice note, shall we? Right, that is it. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. I just want to say to each and every one of you that are watching now or watching on a rerun or whatever, have an absolutely magical Christmas with you and your families, guys. Thank you very much for all your support. It's been immense. I've really, really enjoyed this year. We're on a very strange ride at the moment, aren't we, with Newcastle? But look, we're all one big family. We get frustrated, we get annoyed, we get angry, but we're all Newcastle diehard fans at the end of the day, and that's what's the most important thing about all this. You guys are absolutely legends. Yous are kind-hearted, yous are wonderful people that support this channel. I don't care what anybody says. We have the best subscribers in the world, bar none. You guys are absolutely incredible. Steve, we are mates, and I'm proud of that. Thank you, Steve. It's all nice that we can end it friendly, and Merry Christmas. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for all your super chats and new memberships tonight. Please have a wonderful, wonderful time with your families over Christmas. And also, on the flip side of that, if you're feeling a little bit down and, you know, speak to somebody, you know, reach out. We've got a wonderful system here where you can contact anyone. Don't be on your own. Have a wonderful Christmas. Billy and Alex will see you on Christmas night for the match preview for the Forest game. And then we go again. And hopefully... better results. But thank you very much, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And from me and Billy, it's good night.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Come back and check on some green.